Kids, would you like to come down to the front? I wonder what could be this week. Do you think it might be a Star Wars theme? Do you think it might be some other thing? Oh, I think Ange might be able to clarify that for us. Thank you, Ange. That'd be fantastic. We're really looking forward to that.
Hi, kids. How are you? That's good. You look so excited to be here. Sorry? I just need to let you all know that there's no more KO Kids for this year.
Oh.
But even though we finished our Jesse Tree journey upstairs, don't forget there are still two more devotions in your booklet. There are two more stories that help us to understand God's plan of salvation. Okay? So you can do them at home, and Pastor Donnie and Pastor Brendan are going to be talking to us about those as well, so that we all get the stories. Won't that be good?
Yes.
All right. Now, during today's message, I need eye contact. If you would like to do activity sheets, crossword puzzles, word searches, colouring, go up after the kids talk and grab it from Mrs. Buzz. She's got some folders there with some things that you can do that relate to this week's story. Now, where's the tree? I actually don't know where the tree is. I looked everywhere for the tree. I could not find the tree anywhere.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus is the way. Jesus is
the tree, Jesse. Welcome, Jesse.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
It's so good to see you. I couldn't find you anywhere. Where were you?
I was in my usual spot.
In your usual spot. Right. Okay.
Maybe can we do the dance now?
Yes, we can do the dance. Straight to the main point. We're going to do the dance. Not straight to the main point, though, because I think that you look amazing. I just want to say you look totally amazing if we, you know, adjust your ornaments a little bit. And this one, this is new. You have an ornament with the Saviour on it.
Yes, I do. Can we do the dance now?
In a minute, okay? Soon we can do the dance soon. But first of all, I need to look. I am so astounded. You have God's whole plan of redemption, starting at creation, sin coming into the world, God's promises, God's rescues, God's messages for his people, for all of us. And don't forget, in the dance song, we hear that Jesus is a Saviour, we can come to him today and you will find forgiveness when you put your trust in him. So, Jesse, your story that you're representing is the story of God's plan, God's faithfulness and God's grace. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Can we do the dance now?
Okay, we can do the dance. All right, but there's a lot more to that song than just the chorus, and we're going to sing it all together now. So everyone stand up. Steve and the team are going to lead us. We're going to sing the whole Jesse Tree song. If you can do the dance.
Can you make sure it's not too fast?
Can I make sure it's not too fast? Dial it back slightly more.
Wow, trees can get demanding, can't they?
They can. They can get really demanding. All right. It is hard to dance in the tree, so Jesse will need some help. So everyone who's watched the dance, feel free to join in during the chorus, but let's sing together the Jesse Tree dance song, Jesus Saves.
Well, begun to God, he spoke and there it was. Though it was very good, it all went bad because the man that God had made and the woman there with him turn their back on God to get a deadly taste of sin. But Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior, you can come to him today. Hey! Jesus saves people from their sin. You will find forgiveness when you put your trust in him. Well, if you look around, you'll see how sin was spread. Turning light to dark and living things to death. But God still rules the world. He always had a plan to send his son to save us in the life of Solomon. So Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior, you can come to him today. Hey, Jesus saves, Jesus saves people from their sin. You will find forgiveness when you put your trust in him. God, he still have time, you know. He'll wash your sinful heart and make it white as snow. He'll taste eternal life, and death will have no sting. For all who trust in Jesus are the children of the King. Oh, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Savior, we can come to him today. Hey, Jesus saves people. Your trust in him. Jesus,
find forgiveness when you put your trust in him.
Yay! Yay to our Jesse! Yay to our Jesse! Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome.
It's been an amazing journey.
Yes, it has.
Yes, it has.
If you have your Bible with you, you might like to follow along with today's reading, which is today from Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Israel. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
So the Jesse tree has been an amazing journey, and we get to another point today where we're seeing some amazing things that are taking place. Now today, the two main characters in our story are older people. There you go, older people mentioned in the Bible doing amazing things, not sitting back and living a retired life, but doing amazing things. There's just a couple of older people on this side of the table, that's all. If I look over there, Arthur, I'm in trouble with my wife. Again. Thank you, Neil, for reminding her. The other one. I'm trying to wear those off, buddy. But there's amazing things that take place, and the Old Testament's full of events that take place. Now, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, there are three festivals every year that the men had to go to. They were, who knows these three? Anyone? Passover? Yes? Tabernacles? And? No, the atonement wasn't a compulsory one. Passover, we said, tabernacles, and the festival of weeks, which is what we call Pentecost. So those three were compulsory for young men to go to. And it's events that help people remember the story. You've got to remember, they're living in an era where they don't have the Bible at their disposal. They don't have it there that they can read it at night time. They can't just go up to the temple and pinch a scroll and come home and say, here's tonight's devotions. All right? They can't do that. So they have festivals to help remember things. And one of the books I read when I was a young pastor was called Don't Rock the Boat, Capsize It. It was a good book, very challenging. And it talked about having things in our lives that help us remember specific events or remember who we are or remember who we belong to. All right, so today, celebrating birthdays is a special event that we remember how many years we've walked this earth for. All right. Some of us don't like to remember how many years that's been, but it's the fact. It's the reality. So in my office, there's a number of things that sit around in my office. Now, how many people have seen this in my office? Yep. Anyone wonder why that sits up on my wall in my office? Ever wondered that? It's what? For naughty people. Ooh, baby. You'd want to get it wrong, would you? All right. No, my mum never had this. No. I got given this from a chief in my first trip to the Solomon Islands. So, A, that's a significant gift from a chief to a young youth pastor who took a whole bunch of young people to the Solomon Islands to learn amazing things. And did we not learn amazing things when we were over there? Oh, my goodness, how good is our God? But that's significant because in the Solomon Islands, a paddle is really, really important because you don't want to be stuck up a creek without a paddle. You don't want to be stuck out in the middle of the ocean without a paddle. But it's not just a paddle to paddle your canoe. It's also excellent at digging up things. And it's got a really sharp point at the end, although it's a little bit blunter than it was used to be. So it's also very good when you're getting attacked by a shark or a person. So it's a very, very important piece. But that's not the reason why I have it on my wall. The reason why I have it on my wall is a book by Wayne Cordero, which is called Doing Church as a Team. And he talks about a story about a bunch of people in his leadership team going out and learning to be a team paddling in an outrigger canoe. Now, watching people paddle an outrigger canoe, piece of cake, isn't it? Anyone done it? Not so easy, is it? You've got to be in sync. You've got to do it the right way. And it's no good whacking that paddle around at the wrong time and hitting the person in front. You've got to do it all in sync. So that paddle is on my wall to help me know, as a pastor in this church, I don't do it alone. I'm a part of a team. I'm a part of a leadership team. I'm a part of a church. So every time I walk into my office and I see that paddle, I'm reminded I'm not here alone. This is not a Lone Ranger church. I'm a part of a team. And I've got to be a part of something. Anyone seen this in my office? Yes. Yes. What is this?
It's a hammer and a thing.
A hammer and a thing. Yes. A gavel. Very good. A hammer and a gavel. Anyone know why I would have that in my office? Because I used to be at Toastmasters. No. I have been to Toastmasters, but it was no competition, so I left. Yes, I see that hand. So I can be in the trial. Very good. Yes. To remind me that the price is paid. Exactly. Again, there's a story behind this. There was a gentleman in our church when I first arrived here called Doug Cran. Now, Doug Cran was a retired pastor. And when I turned 43 years old, I got to preach on John 3:16. Anyone know that verse? Yeah, everyone knows that verse. And this day, I was 43 years old in the as a person, and Doug came up to me after the service and said, I was in the ministry 43 years. So he was in the ministry as long as I'd been alive. And he said, and today, as you preached from John chapter 3, verse 16, you taught me something new. And I'm excited about that. And I'm sitting there looking at him, you're a liar. You've been a minister for 43 years. You've preached John 3:16 that many times. How could a young guy like me teach you something? And you know what? Doug Cran, every time I preached, would come up to me and inspire me by saying, that was really good. I got this, this, and this out of it. Man, talk about an older man sowing into a young man's life. Yes, 43, I felt young. And when I visited him one day, he was into woodwork, and he made these. And he gave them to me as a gift to remind me that our God is an awesome God. He is a judge. And that one day, we will stand before him. Hey, that's good to know, isn't it? Well, yeah, we're saved by grace, but we got a big and powerful God. Now, I'm not going to go through all these because I'm running out of time, but I'm going to put up these. Anyone seen these in my office and wondered, what is the story behind that? Anyone? No? You seen them in my room?
Yes.
Yep. What do you think they are?
Shoes.
Pair of shoes. Do you think the person who owned these shoes ever wore them like that?
Yeah.
Yeah? They're cool shoes, aren't they? They weren't green when I wore them. They were white. And they were painted gold when they were given back to me. You see, when I started dating Cynthia, I wore these shoes. And when we got engaged, she said something like, once we're married, you'll never ever wear those shoes again. And so I have these in my room to remind me that when my wife says something, these shoes were given to me at my wedding, at the wedding breakfast. A guy who I was mates with up until that event broke into my house and grabbed my favourite pair of shoes, painted them gold and nailed them to this plaque and presented them to me. And as he presented them to me, he said, and Cynthia said he'd never wear those shoes again once he was married. And he was right, I never did. So that's another story. But we have these things that help us to remember things in our lives, some good stories, things that help us to remember. We've got stories today about an awesome older couple, Simeon and Anna. So if you've got your Bibles there, open them up and let's have a look at God's Word. Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 21, and I'm just going to go through it again and we'll highlight some points out of this. All right. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So what we've got starting off here is Mary and Joseph were devout Jews. Just putting that out there. They were devout Jews. They followed the law of the Lord, the law of Moses. And so when they had a baby boy, guess what? They went to the temple to consecrate him unto the Lord. If they were rich, they probably would have sacrificed a little lamb, but they were poor, and so they had two pigeons or two doves. And it's a very important part of their journey. It's a very important part for us to realize that Joseph and Mary were Jewish and they held on to this and they raised Jesus in a Jewish household, understanding this and calling out to God, Yahweh, as their Lord. Now, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon. Anyone heard the name Simeon before? Yep. He's one of Jacob's sons. Number two in the line after Reuben. Simeon. Popular name. Similar to David back in the 70s, 80s, 90s and noughties. Not so much these days, hey David. But back in the day it was a very popular name. Simeon. There was probably a number of Simeons in Jerusalem at this time. You understand? So here is a man called Simeon. And we know a little bit about him. The early writers write a lot more about him. They tell lots of different stories, of which are stories. We can't prove it. One of the really nice stories is that Simeon was the son of a very, very significant doctor, philosopher, man of God within the Jewish nation called Hillel. And what he wrote was like lore unto itself almost. Very, very important person. But there's no facts behind whether he was that son. There is another story that Simeon went on to become or had previously been the head of the Sanhedrin, one of the presidents, as it were, of the Sanhedrin. So we don't know those things for fact, but we do know these things. These are the things we know about him. He was a righteous and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, for those who have a bit of a sporting tenor in your brain, the consolation of Israel is not the wooden spoon of Israel, okay? It's not the booby prize, okay? It's not something down the end. It's just another phrase for the Messiah. It's for the one who is coming. It's for the Christ. It's a very important phrase, and he was waiting. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Have we heard that before? Waiting, waiting, waiting. It was interesting, after my waiting sermon with the grey stones and everything, it was pointed out that the people of Israel are still waiting for the Messiah. Still waiting. But we know from this reading today that Simeon got it. And so did Anna. He had been waiting. But it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He was waiting for the consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit was on him. So how would you be writing that about somebody? If you were writing about folk in this day and age, in your journal, as it were, would you say the Holy Spirit was on those people? The Holy Spirit worked through them? If it's evident, it's evident. And so here is Luke writing this down about Simeon, and these are the things that they knew about him. He was righteous, he was devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he came, and he was waiting and waiting. But he knew it was going to happen because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Isn't that amazing? Again, let me just go back through this. He doesn't have a copy of the New Testament or the Old Testament. He doesn't have most probably the scribe written out form of the book of Isaiah and a scroll format at home where he's reading through it. He's just spending time in God's presence. And God speaking to him loudly and clearly. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. Isn't that amazing? That's incredibly significant. As a young boy growing up, I grew up in a house that cricket was important. My great uncle Ernie was phenomenal in cricket. My uncle Ernie had polio as a young boy, and because of that he didn't go to World War One. He had to stay home on the farm and try and get rid of all the prickly pear on the farm. I think there's times he wanted to go to war instead of getting rid of the prickly pear. If you've ever tried to get rid of prickly pear, which is a cactus, by the way, for those who don't know, the old Western-style cactus, getting it off the farm, it was just such a pest. But because of the polio, he had a club foot, and so sport was not his great thing. But he loved his cricket. And because, as a little boy, I liked cricket, he would grab me. And my mum would let me spend time with Uncle Ernie watching the cricket on an old black and white TV with the ABC reporting it. And the really good thing about the ABC in those days is, guess what? All they talked about was the cricket. And it was all about the cricket. My Uncle Ernie was phenomenal about the cricket. But he's a passionate Queenslander like me, and he was actually alive in 1926 when the Sheffield Shield let the Queenslanders start playing. And he was actually alive in the 1970s where the Queensland team and the Sheffield Shield came last 8 times out of 10. And so as a young guy growing up, my Uncle Ernie and I dreamed of the day that Queensland would one day win the Sheffield Shield. On another side of things, there was also another dream that one day Queensland would win the State of Origin. In those days, New South Wales whooped us. And I remember with my Uncle Ernie talking to him as he was on his deathbed about cricket. And talking to him about cricket, he took his oxygen mask off and he lit up. And he got excited with the idea of the potential that one day Queensland might win the Sheffield Shield. And I remember saying to him, well, Uncle Ernie, you're just going to have to wait on, because the Queensland team has to wait till I make the Queensland team. And when I make the Queensland team, then we'll win the Sheffield Shield. Fortunately, they did it without my help. In 1994, for those that remember cricket, we won the very first Sheffield Shield for Queensland after some almost 70 years of waiting. This guy wasn't waiting that long, but he was certainly waiting. And it was something a lot more important than the Sheffield Shield. Here's his response when he takes up the little baby in his arms. Now, remember, this is a little baby. This is not the fully grown Messiah that Steve was talking about. This is not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we understand as in the book of Revelation. This is not the lion and the lamb all tied into one. This is a baby. And yet the Holy Spirit was so much upon Simeon that he went, this is the one. And his cry of joy is amazing. What does he say? He goes, thank you, Father. I can now die in peace, for you have fulfilled your promise to me. Isn't that amazing? I can go now. My job here on earth is done. All I've done is held the Messiah. But it's it. That's the call on my life, says Simeon. I can go now because the Messiah is here. And the promises of God, all through God's salvation plan in the Old Testament, are going to come true. I've seen it. The potential. It's going to happen. We're going to do it. And he's just so excited. Are you picking that up? He's so excited. This is what he says. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Here is what's been talked about for all these years, and here it is. Here's the real thing right here in front of me. The potential is no longer there. It's there. Bang. It's there. And he says, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of all your people, Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what he said to them. Why did they marvel? Well, hold on a sec. Let's have another look at this. Mary had an angel appear to her. Joseph had an angel appear. Who else knew about the baby Jesus? The shepherds, they had angels appear. And then the shepherds told everybody they saw about the good news. So it was slowly getting out there. But how many people are grabbing hold of this good news? How many people are as excited as Simeon? How many people did the shepherds talk to about the promised Messiah was born in the barn? How many of them went, yeah, no, sail on next week. Too busy. Not interested. No, on holiday. Sorry, family's arriving tomorrow. Too busy. Or did they grab hold of it like Simeon and went, enough. Enough. I'm good with this. I'm excited with this. I'm alive now. Although he says he can die. They're marvelling because all of a sudden the promises of God to them through these angels are being revealed to more and more people, not just by angels but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That people are getting on the same page. There's something exciting going on here. Could you imagine the marvel in Mary and Joseph? Wow, this wasn't just us. This isn't just us. Shepherds turned up at the birth. We've got angels all over the place, and now this crazy old guy is prophesying over us. Wow, what's going on? There's something at work here. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause failing and rising of many in Israel, and to a sign that he will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul also." Interesting word that he gets to give them. But interesting that Jesus is the one that splits the world, doesn't he? The name of Jesus these days splits the world. Splits the world. The early church too didn't have everything going well for the first 300 years. It was a persecuted church. I didn't realize this till this week as I did some research. Researching this, I went into lots of little rabbit warrens that were just amazing little stories. A whole bunch of different notes. But the interesting thing about the early church, it wasn't seen as like us, like we're Baptists, we're good, we're good. You know? We're good Christians. We're reliable, you can trust us. We're Baptists. Come and talk to us about Jesus. It wasn't like that. The Romans hated them, and the Jews called them a cult and a sect. Now have a look around, and the ones that we might say are sects and cults, do we embrace them and say, yeah, come into our prayer meetings? No. The Jewish people didn't want anything to do with them. In fact, here's some of the interesting thing I learned this week. They nicknamed Jesus "that man." They wouldn't even say his name, "that man." Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever had that said to you, and I have, I was dating this girl when I was younger, and her parents said, "You are not to go out with that boy." Now, they knew my name. They saw me grow up in the church. They knew me, which is probably why they were saying, "You're not to go out with that boy." But they said "boy," and I felt, what? You can't even say you can't go out with Donnie. It was that boy. It was that. And they would say, "that man, Jesus." No, "that man." And another one they called him about was "the hung one." And what about that curse? "Cursed is he who hangs on a tree." And Jesus was crucified on a cross. So cursed. So when they said, "oh, you follow the hung one," they're saying you are all cursed under the law. So you can see the damnation. This is not a happy, clappy party that they're talking about. And there's a whole bunch of other names that they had for Jesus. And these people were the followers of the hung one, the followers of Jesus. And this is the division rising up and falling down. And the piercing of Mary's heart. Wow. We read the Gospels, don't we? And we see the piercing of Mary's heart. To watch her son go through what he went through. For you and for me, for her and the family, everyone. Incredible. What a prophetic word from Simeon. The last things he probably says in this sense, and he gives the baby back. And then to back this up, what a mourning they're having here at the temple. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. So that's important in itself because that means she is ancient. Now, if you dig into Asher, Asher's not one of the great tribes, but her heritage is important that everyone knew that she came from the tribe of Asher. You know, it's not important for me that you all know I come from Mount Gravatt. But for her, it was important that people knew that she came from the tribe of Asher. She was very old. This is what the Bible says, Arthur. It's not me. I'm not picking on this. She said she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after they were married, and then he dies, and then she was a widow until she was 84 years old, and she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. fasting and praying in the temple. And again, as you dig in to find out about Anna, she was this amazing person. Some of them said that they had a little wardrobe to the side where she could stay near the temple because she was there all the time. Now, one of them said that she was one of the people who would go around and sweep the floor before people arrived at the temple. But it's not what Luke says. Luke says she was a prophetess, someone respected, and someone who taught. Now, when we're in the Malawi, Bubba Wind was an amazing evangelist. You take him out into the villages, and the way he shared the gospel just so powerfully, so naturally, so just out of himself, it was just amazing to watch, both in English and in Yao. He was brilliant. But when we get up in the morning at 6 o'clock, as the sun gets up very early, he would be out there with a sweeping brush, sweeping all the dirt and the flowers and everything off the walkways so the Azungals, when they walked through, would have to walk on a nice clean path. He was a great evangelist during the day, but in the morning he was sweeping the paths. I'm thinking, wow, what a servant heart. What an incredible man. You might be known as an evangelist, but I know you as someone as a servant heart. So this lady, Anna, was a great prophetess, but also a great servant heart. She worshipped and fasted in the temple day and night. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child with all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel or Jerusalem. And again, all who were looking towards the Messiah. So here's another person, a prophetess, someone who's known and respected in and through the community around the temple. And she's going, this child, this child, this child is the Messiah. It's an amazing message. It's incredible. God's salvation plan. The salvation plan is being opened loudly and clearly. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they continued on to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew to become strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. It's a beautiful text, isn't it? Beautiful section of God's word. Two old people waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise. You know, today, we don't have to wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. God's promise is here and now. We have entered into God's presence. We have the Holy Spirit that shone brightly in Simeon's eyes. We have that same Holy Spirit to shone brightly in our lives. We also have the Word of God that can be used by the Holy Spirit to shine brightly into our lives. So, what's stopping us from being like Simeon? Full of joy. Full of really getting a hold of what God's got for us. What's stopping us from being like Anna and telling everybody? She only saw the baby once and she knew and she just told everybody. So what's stopping us from telling everybody about this baby, about what God has done in my life and in your life? Two old people, both changed on this same day when the mother and father were going about their understanding, their faith, being obedient to God, and both of them get to be a part of what God's doing. Let's pray. Father God, in and amongst the busyness of this world, in and amongst the challenges of being a Christian in a culture that's forever changing, where people aren't really interested, Lord, help us to be like these two people, Simeon and Anna, that we would be your shining light. Both of them, Father, were righteous and devout. Both of them loved to pray and to worship you. Both of them loved to hang out at the temple. Both of them were able to speak your word in season. So, Father, I pray that upon each and every one of us, we would desire to pray. We would desire to worship. We would desire to give glory to your name, to testify to your goodness, to testify to you being the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the answer to God's salvation plan for the world today. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit right now, Lord. Enable us, encourage us to be your people here and now, just as Simeon and Anna were your people on that day. In Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen.